I didn't think I was going to get this many, but y'all know how that go. You know, I'm not like the pastor at the one church. You say, well, he was there 7 years, and he said, well, I didn't preach the whole Bible. I got to go to another church now because I'm done. Nothing else to preach. We're in Mark chapter 2. And again, this is one of the stories that's told in all three of the synoptic gospels, Mark, Luke, and Matthew. But Mark, you know, Mark just brings things alive. He brings it alive. He's a little more vivid. And you know, so I kind of go to Mark because I like Mark. We're in Mark today. Let's start at verse 13. Let's start at verse 13. And remember, Mark is just... Jesus just healed the paralytic, the man that was lowered down through the roof, and the city's ablaze, and they're excited, and they're astonished. The word of God is going out. This holy man has come to town, and he's healing everybody and saving souls. And now we're going to talk about Matthew Levi today in verses 13. Let's go to 17. Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. It says, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. 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 All of us are here to save. Aren't you glad you got that call? Amen. He said, I'm going to accept this call. Okay. Father, thank you for the call. Thank you for those that realized that they were sick, that we needed a Savior, that we needed to be delivered, that only the power of God could call us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Only the power of God could heal us and deliver us. And we couldn't do it ourselves. We tried everything. We tried everything that we could. We were like the woman with the issue of blood. We exhausted all our resources in the world, but it was only that call from you that delivered us. And Father God, we thank you that you're still making that call, that you're still calling sinners. You're still calling sinners. Paul said in his gospel, Father, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Father God, we have loved ones, we have family members, we have children, we have cousins, we have co-workers, we have classmates, we have neighbors that need salvation, that need to be saved. Father God, let the word of God permeate today through our hearts, and we would go out and talk to a lost soul about the need of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. 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 We've been talking about these great conversion experiences in the Bible, and I call it a series, serious conversions. And I have the 10. Think about it. I want you to think about which one. I guess I'm talking to save folks. One of these ought to remind you of your salvation experience. One of these ought to, you know, that's me. That one's close to what happened to me. And we talk about the Philippian jail. Philippian jail, it took an earth shaking. It took something miraculous to happen before this person came to the Lord. Some of us have been like that. Listen, he's going to take a whole lot to save this one. And God shook the jail and shook the jail that person was in. And we've all been in jail. You know, and y'all know I worked at a jail for a long time, working in prison. And I would tell the inmates, I said, let me tell you something. The folks work here. Some of the ones that are employed here are more locked up than you guys. They come in here with more stuff and more problems, and a lot of them don't even want to go home. How about Paul on Damascus Road? How about just in our own world, thinking we got it all together? Here go Paul. And he persecuted Christians. And God had to knock him off his high horse. I think Paul fell in some horse manure. Because when he gets to rolling in Philippians 3, he talks about, I count all as dung. How about Ruth? How about Ruth? We talked about Ruth. How about Ruth? Ruth had to leave Moab. She had to leave all her people in Moab. All the Moabites and what they believed and how they lived. They lived carelessly. And she had to leave, and she made that great proclamation. Where you go, I go. Where you die, I die. Where they bury you, they're going to bury me. Your people should be my people. Basically, your God is going to be my God. What a great testimony of faith by Ruth. And some of us have to leave some stuff. Have to leave some friends and some family members. Sometimes you just got to cut them loose. Sometimes you got to cut them loose. How about the woman caught? We talked last week. Caught in adultery. Just caught in the act. Many of us do. I stand accused. Okay. Paul said, there's none righteous, no, not one. So ain't nobody sit here and understand that. But somebody had to drive us to Christ. Listen, what you've done, you need to get to the Lord. Because the world may never forgive you. Amen. But Jesus just said, we just read, he said, I didn't come to put a righteous. I come to save sinners. How about Lydia? This is one of my favorite ones. One of my favorite stories, because I believe this. If you're unsaved, you don't know the Lord until God does a work of grace in your heart. God has to initiate it. He's going to do this work of grace in your heart. I'm going to change his heart. How did it happen? She heard Paul. She heard the word of God. This is why I'm so dogmatic, so adamant about preaching the gospel. I'm not going over Claire's house to learn how to sing.
Amen.
I am not. She asked me to come over many times. She said, come on over. I said, You fry some chicken, I'll come over. But I'm not coming over to sing. I got a whole lot of folk in here can sing. I'm going to preach this gospel. I'm going to do what I'm called to do. Because it's only by hearing the word of God anybody going to get saved.
Amen.
Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I can get up here and do all kind of antics and props and showtime. And you guys go home. Man, I had a good class. I had a good time today. I want you to go home convicted. I want you to go home challenged and confronted. And look in the mirror and say, you know what? Either I'm crazy or he crazy. One of us is wrong.
Amen.
How about the blind man? Anybody can relate to the blind man? We was all spiritually blind. Here's what I want to talk. Here's the point I want to make. We're always one of the two in the stories. We're always the flipping jailer. We're Paul. We're Ruth. We're the woman with the issue of blood. We're the woman caught in adultery. We're Lydia. We're the blind man. The blind man said, listen, let me tell you something. Y'all go ahead on with all that theology and all that different stuff like that. Here's one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
I was blind, but now I see. I was living one way, but now I'm living another way. I was living in darkness, now I'm living in the light. And y'all can argue about who he is and where he come from, all that. That's on y'all. But this thing, one thing I know. There's been a change in me. There's any man be in Christ, he's a... Old things have passed away. All things become new. That's what the blind man was saying.
Amen.
And here's another one of my favorites. When Ezekiel, he's talking about these dry bones. He's talking to these dry bones. He said, preach to the dry bones. Preach to the dry bones. And we were that cemetery of dry bones. That was us. We was laying in there. And the word of God had to be preached to us.
Amen.
And if you've come to the Lord by any other means than the preaching of God's word, then you need to hear some more.
Amen.
We need to hear some more. Okay. But that said, we're going to talk about Matthew, Levi, son of Alphaeus today. And we're going to talk about him walking away from some stuff. It's been in the news all week. All week, the football player, a couple of football players, I think three, walked away. The only ones getting attention. And that's the one from San Francisco, Borland. Because he said he was getting concussions. The one from Pittsburgh, man, I wish he wasn't a Jehovah's Witness. I just wish he was a child. I wish he was a saint. I wish he was blood bought. I wish he lifted up Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I wish he would. But he walked away from a lot of money. Then you had the one other one from San Francisco, walked away, 29 years old. He's already made $100 million. You know, he didn't give a reason why he walked away. He said, just tired, wear and tear. Today we're going to talk about a man walked away from a lucrative tax booth in the person of Levi. Jesus was calling folks. Jesus was on a mission. He was calling folks. Now, everybody he calls, you're going to walk away from something. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you've been called, you ain't walked away from something. I think the rappers, you say, better check yourself.
Amen.
Before you wreck yourself. Okay? You come into contact. One thing we've learned from all these studies, when you come into contact with the Lord, you don't leave the same way.
Amen.
Okay? You don't come into contact with the Lord and you are whatever. Name your sin. And you come into contact with the Lord and you say you're born again and you just got that sin and you just carrying it around. You're happy with it. I'm cool with it. See, a lot of us like the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler came running. He come running. And he said, Master, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, why you call me Master? And he says, you do keep all the commandments. I'm paraphrasing the text. And he said, I kept them all. He said, well, go sell all that you have and follow me. And he never followed because he wasn't willing to give up anything. You know, this is costly. And one of the things that I feel compelled to do, and I know a lot of preachers won't do it, they'll just tell you, read the text, and, you know, follow after me, repeat after me, and, you know, and now you're saved. That's not healthy. Okay? It's not in there. It's not healthy. It's not biblical. It's not good doctrine.
Amen.
You have to tell people about the cost. That's why so many folks misinformed, I'll put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
When he called Simon and Andrew, they dropped their nets. They walked away from the fishing business. When he called James and John, they walked away. When he called the lunatic walked away from being a lunatic. Y'all know I love that one. I love that story. When he called the leper walked away from leprosy. When he called the man, the Lord, down through the roof, the paralyzed man, he walked away from paralysis. And the Bible says he picked up his bed and they spin the rest. And look, everything working. So when he calls you, he empowers you. And he calls you, he empowers you to walk away. Don't let this thing wear you down. Listen, I don't have to be worn down by this no more. I'm free. I'm free. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm free.
Amen.
It's a freeing power that comes with the call. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. I say it all the time. Acts 1 and 8, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive what? Power to do what?
Amen.
To do ministry. To evangelize, to do ministry, to walk in power. So when God comes into a life, when he's going to cause you to examine your life. He's going to cause you to look at how you live and say, listen, I need to make some adjustments.
Amen.
And he'll give you the power to make those adjustments.
Amen.
Not going to call you and not equip you. That's why I don't worry about it. People say, oh, you know, all I hear, talk to preachers, offerings and tithes and offerings. People ain't giving it. I listen, that ain't my business.
Amen.
Okay? God's church.
Amen.
He shut it down. He shut it down. I'm not going to sit here and beat you over there. I got a big old Bible to teach, and there ain't a whole lot in here about teaching on tithing every week.
Amen.
Okay. You give or you don't. You got to answer to God, not me.
Amen.
I'm not the kind of preacher. Well, that's why you got a flat tire. I've heard that before. That's your money you should have gave the Lord. You wouldn't have the flat. Okay. Tell all those on that and when my battery stopped and all that. Listen. Mark 2:11. Now this is just really interesting. It said that he went for again by the seaside. Now, last week we talked about teaching. I'm not going to belabor the fact we know Jesus came to teach. He came to teach and to preach. Okay, the miracles and the healings was all that was done to authenticate, to let people know I'm the real deal. I'm God come down from heaven, and I have the power over the wind, over the rain, over the earthquakes. I got the power over sin and disease. I can forgive sins.
Amen.
And that's what he had the ability to do those things for, to let people know I am the Messiah. I am who blind Bartimaeus was calling Messiah, son of David. That's me. That's what Jesus was saying. But the reason that I do these miracles is so that I'll have your attention. And now I'm going to teach you.
All right.
And I heard the young lady praying over the offering. She said that we can learn. So when we get to heaven, we'll know. Because when I get to heaven, you know who I'm looking for? Them four sailors. I'm looking for them four sailors. I'm in the first place. Y'all know it. Somebody said, there were the four sailors that threw Jonah in. And then I'm going to be looking for some of y'all to tell them. Okay, so here's Mark. He said he went forth again by the seaside. And he and all the multitude resorted unto him. It just burns me up when I see these preachers on TV. They on TV and they got the whole world. They got the whole audience of the whole world, and they hee-hawing. They hee-hawing. You know, they asked the one guy, Osteen, and here's this guy. He's a Jew. Don't believe in God. Don't believe in Jesus, rather. You don't believe in God, you don't believe in Jesus. You don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in God. Are unbelievers, unsaved folks that don't believe in God going to heaven? Well, I don't know. Really? Give them the business. You got a whole audience. You got the whole world.
Amen.
Here's what Jesus did. He had a multitude. They all resorted unto him. And what did he do? He taught them. He taught them. He taught them. What did he teach them? He taught them the way, the truth, and the light. He taught them that I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father but through me. But he taught them. He taught them. And we don't like to come to church and be taught. And that's problematic to me, because I don't care where you go, you're going to be taught. If you're going to make some money in this world, you're going to earn a living in this world, you're going to be taught. And what gets me is we worry so much about our income and our finances. We'll go to seminars, and we go to conferences and workshops, and we go to all this stuff, conventions, and we sit there and we pay attention. But when it comes to our soul, I don't want to hear it. Let me tell you something. I've been in workshops all week. Seminars. And I know some of you guys, all you guys at work. Anybody at work anymore? Lori, she's going to seminar. Sharon's going to seminar. Anybody? Coop, I know he got 3 meetings planned next week. Because I know what he do. He got meetings there. And you know what? He ain't going to be in there playing on his phone. You're gonna learn. You're gonna be taught. I don't care if you're the office manager at Wendy's, Caesars, Little C's, wherever. You're a parole officer, cops. I know football players get kicked off the team in the NFL for not attending meetings.
Amen.
Or coming in late.
Amen.
Coming in late. Imagine we put some of them rules in place. But we come to the house of God and we refuse to be taught. You know, in that story, and I've told some of you guys this story. Listen to it one more time. Little boy, father died. Father passed away. And then they had the funeral, teenage boy. And everybody, oh, your daddy, he's okay now. He's in a better place. He's in heaven. And the little boy stopped and said, hold on, let me see. He said, let me tell you something. My dad traveled the world. He traveled all over for a living. And every time he would go to a different country or a different city, he would always get the brochures and find out all the landmarks, find out everything that was going on, all the wonderful places, all the restaurants, and he was always prepared for wherever he went. He said, my father never talked about heaven. I never seen him pray. He never opened a Bible. He never read it. So how are you telling me that he's in heaven? And that's how we have to look at things.
Amen.
That is just the way it is. Oh, Pastor, you always talk about heaven and hell. Jesus always talked about it.
Amen.
I can't get away from it.
Amen.
And I know it's difficult to sit and listen. And I know over the 5 years I've been here, you know, we do 60 minutes on Sundays.
Amen.
Now, they do 60 minutes on Sunday night, and you can sit there and watch it all night.
Amen.
You know, we watched the Empire, the grand finale. That's 2 hours, wasn't it? Got mad when the commercials come on. NCAA, watch the basketball. We watch it on, you know, going overtime. Take five overtime, don't matter. When it comes to the Word of God. Pastor. Oh, yeah, I'll be getting it too, boy. Too late now. Let's talk about Levites. Matthew was a Levite. And I'm going to talk about the Levites first, who they were. Levites. Levites were God's people. Their primary function was to serve in the temples. In Numbers 18:4 says, the Levites shall be for me. The name Levi is derived from the word, thou shalt accompany me. God said, the Levites shall accompany me. We know from Exodus 32, I believe, 26, when Moses and Joshua came down from the mountain, and Joshua said, they praying down there, they worshiping God. And Moses said, no, that ain't the sound of worship. And he came down and they was partying. They was running around, you know, like they doing down in Florida for spring break. You know. And Moses slammed down the commandments and got busy. And he killed 3,300 of them. But he said, who's on the Lord's side? He asked the people, he said, who's on the Lord's side? Who came? The Levites. The Levites. The Levites have always been loyal. It was the Levites who rallied together to avenge Moses, to back up Moses. It was the Levites when the Ark of the Covenant was being carried and Uriah grabbed it. It was the Levites when David went back and learned how it was supposed to be carried. It was the Levites that handled it. They were fearless. So we get this in our mind that if you are a man of God or a woman of God, you ought to be weak. Man, I don't see that in the Bible. And I tell people all the time, I say, find me one person, man or woman, that God used in the Bible that was weak. You can't find it. You won't find it.
Man.
You won't find it. You can go from Rahab all the way to Caleb and Joshua and Moses and Mary and Elizabeth. These folks, these were strong people. And you know how they got strong? They knew the Word of God. And know why you weak? You don't know the Word of God.
Amen.
The reason why Christianity is so weak in our world because we don't know the Word of God. And then when we get under sound biblical teaching, we don't want to hear it.
Amen.
Because none of us got, all of us got HD TV, and we got the big screens and the plasma, and we got all that. And man, listen, that's what we used to. Now we in here sitting on these hard pews, listen to this dude for an hour. Listen. You want to get strong? You go to the gym. I was talking. You go. I'm on. I only got 10 minutes. Listen, don't go. Nobody's going to the gym for 10 minutes.
Amen.
Okay. And there's no aerobic class that's 10 minutes long. And you go to Zumba class and you stay in there an hour. Feet all hurting. The Levites, strong people, powerful people. And here's the one thing about it. And remember this when I start talking about Matthew. Levites were dependent on the tithes and the offerings of the people. Now let me tell y'all something. I know y'all have been in some bootleg churches. There ain't no Levites in the pulpits today.
Amen.
Okay. You know, and there's some preachers out there say, well, my income comes, I get all the tithes. You not Levite. Okay, y'all pay attention. I mean, preachers is fleecing the flock.
Amen.
You got 100 members and you want to drive a Lexus. Not a Lexus, a Mercedes. got 100 members. You need a job.
Amen.
If you're a preacher in Youngstown.
Yeah.
You get 100 members and you're the preacher for the Dallas Cowboys football team, then maybe you know. Can I teach? Matthew was a Levite.
Amen.
He was out of order. Now, hang with me, because I like the way Mark explained Matthew better than Matthew. Go to Matthew 9:9. Now, many of us in this story, we Matthew. Everybody in here Matthew in this story. Okay? And if you ain't left the tax booth, you still Matthew. You still sitting at the tax booth. But Matthew, if you look at Matthew, you can almost see Matthew is embarrassed about his past. Matthew's almost humbled. He's humbled. He's humiliated. He's ashamed of his past. You know what? All of us in here that walked out of darkness, we done some stuff we don't like to talk about. I always wonder when I hear testimonies that's too vivid. See, some folks' testimonies is too vivid. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And they want to get down to numbers and I done this and I was this and I was this. Listen, he was a sinner.
Amen.
I don't need to hear all your business because I'm going to look at you different. I just listen, you get a testimony? Listen, thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Amen.
Okay? Because I was lost, now I'm found. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. That's fine. Okay? Here's Matthew in Matthew 9:9. He's writing his own letter. He's describing his own self, what he went through. And he says, and as Jesus passed forth from this, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. Turn to Luke. Luke 5, I believe. Amen. Brady don't know what to do today. Jalen here and grandma. Luke 5:27. Now this is interesting. Because Luke is a doctor now. Luke is going to be a little more specific. He's going to be a little more thorough. But you can almost see in Luke's explanation of Matthew, he's almost like put off by Matthew. Like, that's, look at him over there. He put, watch it. I've read it, it's come out better. And after these things, Luke 5:27, he said, and after these things, he went forth and saw a publican. It's a comma there. A publican was hated. A publican was despised. A publican was an outcast. A publican was ostracized. Word of God even says that if a person don't want to follow the rules of the church, you know, treat them like a publican. He was a publican. He was a disgrace. Now watch this. He saw a publican named Levi. Had no business in that situation. Had no business. Now, some of y'all have great names in this church. And I can almost see it. And some of you got names that if something happened to you in somebody in your family, if Jill went out there and done something crazy and it hit the news, we gonna know who that is. Dunleavy. Oliver. I'm going to get to you, Elmer. You understand what I'm going? Bryant. Now, some of y'all with Jacksons and Davises, you can get away with it because they're all out of Jacksons and Davises. But Jericio, that's Jake's boy. Or that's Jake. Okay, some of us ain't getting away with nothing. Luke, Elmer Luke. You ain't getting away. Here's Levi, 27, verse 27. A publican named Levi. Wait a minute. A publican named Levi? Wait a minute. A publican named Levi. A Levite. Now, what were we just talking about? Where should that Levite have been? In the temple. serving and praying and preaching and teaching. That was the job of a Levite, and being supported by the people. But this one here has taken his gifts, and now he's working in a tax booth. Now watch this. It says he saw a publican named Levi. This next word is huge. Sitting. Now I'm going to stop right there. And I say this because it means something to me. Young people, old people, be careful who you sit with.
Amen.
I watch folks now. Listen, you're not going to sit with anybody. See, blessed is the man who walks out in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scorner. Because once you sit down with somebody, and some of you young people, y'all know, y'all go to the cafeteria, you get your tray. You're not just sitting down with anybody. You looking for a specific group of people that you can communicate with and interact with. You're not going to sit down. And I watch it at prison. You know, them brothers and them ABs and white supremacist guys, they come in there. They're not sitting down with anybody. The ABs sit with the ABs.
Uh-huh.
And the Crips sit with the Crips. And the heartless felons sit with the heartless felons. And the Bloods sit with the Bloods. Now, we used to make them sit. Then we had to fight all day because the Blood ain't sitting with the Crip. And the AB, he ain't sitting with a group of brothers. Here's this Levi. Here's this publican sitting at the receipt of custom. There were three taxes in that day. You had the land tax and the head tax, where they counted each individual like a census. And then you had the custom. Well, you want to make some money? Which one of them three you think made the most money? Sitting at the seat of custom. Sitting at the seat of custom, because here's Matthew, probably had a sign over his booth. If it moves, we taxing it. Okay. If it moves, we taxing it. And he was taxing his people. Now you have to get a contract to be a tax collector. And you were considered the most despised person in that town. Because you're taxing your own people. This is what I think about this when I look at the text like this. It's like the drug dealers selling drugs in their own community. Go take them drugs out of Kenfield, Clanfield. Why are you selling them to your own people?
Uh-huh.
Tearing up the community. And you know what? I know women know their kids selling drugs. And come to church in clothes bought with the son's drug money. Drive the son's drug bought car. And praising God. It's quiet in here.
Uh-huh.
I know y'all got all that all leather. My son bought me this. Where your son work at? Oh, you know. He used to work at General Motors, but he didn't like it. He said he could make that today. I get carried away. That make any sense?
Amen.
That sure did. Because y'all know it's true. Look at Mark again, talking about Levi. In Mark chapter 2. Matthew's got to deal with Mark. Because he's a Levite sitting at the receipt of custom. And a person, like I say, custom, you taxing everything. You making up stuff to tax. Sort of like the tax man today. They making up stuff to tax us with. You know, that's why I get so mad at Ray and Michael and Randy when they bring them all them F's. Because I live in Liberty. Come on now. Some of y'all live in Liberty. Listen, you can't ride down the streets. There's holes in the streets. And I'm paying $6,000-$7,000 a year taxes.
Amen.
And then my kids getting all F's. I'm pulling out my hair. I'm going crazy. And I talked to my religious education director. She can't help him. Ray said, you got to get me in every sermon. Sure do, Ray. I love you. Listen, he was sitting at the receipt of custom, taxing everything and everybody. I mean, he taxed the paralyzed man coming through. You was carrying him, we taxing him. Now, when he came back for walking, Matthew probably was like, oh, my God. I just taxed you going through. You was crippled and paralyzed. And when they had paralysis in them days, and I believe this was a severe case, this man was probably just gripped in pain, curled all up, screaming and hollering in pain, and they lowered him through the roof, and Jesus healed him. Now he's walking back through, shaking and dancing and celebrating. And Matthew probably said, what is going on? And this is when Jesus shows up. This is when Jesus shows up in Mark chapter 14. And it says, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus. Now, I don't talk about son of Alphaeus. Alphaeus was a good man. Worked in the temple. He was a Levite. Raised his son to be a Levite. Raised his son to worship and serve God in the temple. But now his son is sitting at the receipt of custom. That's why Mark throws it in there. You looked at how much disdain you've seen with Luke. Mark even gives more disdain for Levi. He puts all his business out there. See, I'm not the only one putting everybody's business out there. Mark puts all his business out there. He passed by. He saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus. And what Mark said, he's the son of Alphaeus. He ought to be sitting there, Jesus. He ought not be sitting there. He ought to be in the temple, preaching, praying, teaching, worshiping God, making sure that everything is running fine in the temple. And here he is sitting at the receipt of custom. Mark wrote for Peter. So this is Peter's words. Mark wrote for Peter. So but here's Peter saying, listen, Jesus, what are we going to do about him? And Jesus said unto him, follow me. Man, powerful words. To follow where to follow me, to accompany me. Get on the same road that I'm on. Get on the same road that I'm on. This is what God has called us. Now, remember, we are Matthew. When God called us, he's called us to get on the same road as him.
Amen.
And in Matthew 7, he talks about there's two roads. He said there's two roads that lead to heaven. There's a wide road and there's a narrow run. He said, make sure you're on the right one. Because he said, many folks is on the wide road. Church, he talks to church folks. Now, he talks to the church. He said, there are many folks on the wide road, and they think they're on the right road. And when they get there, they're not going to see them poor sailors. It's not going to look like they thought. And I think what we have to understand is, are we on the right road? Lord have mercy. And I pray for this church, and I pray, and I plead, and I preach hard. And are we on the right road? Are we on the right road? Are you on the right road? Or you on a wide road? You know, how can I tell if I'm on a wide road? You can tell you on a wide road because you're doing anything you want to do.
Amen.
You know, I travel. You're on a wide road. You know what? You're on a wide road. You got two hands on the wheel. You got one hand on the wheel. You know, you can change your CDs. You can be texting and looking on the phone because you're on a wide road. You got four lanes. Okay, you're on a wide road. You can pass the French fries and the McNuggets to your kids, and you know, everything is fine because you're on the wide road. But as soon as you get to Kentucky, now you're telling the kids to shut up. Be quiet back there, girl. And now you got both hands on the wheel because you got a ditch on one side and you got semis coming up the other side. They texting. Now you put all your faith in Jesus. You say, Lord, get me through Kentucky. Get me back on the wide road. Get me through Kentucky. Now you're on the wide road. You're on the wide road because you don't depend on the Lord. You do what you do, what you want to do, and you do how you want to do it, and you don't consult nobody. If you want to buy something, you don't pray about it. Just do it. You want to go somewhere, you don't pray about it. Just do it. You want to make a major decision in life? You don't consult nobody. I'm doing my thing. And you're on a wide road. The Bible says there's a narrow road that few be on that one. He told Matthew, follow me. Now, he heard that. Watch what happens here. I know I keep saying watch what happened. Watch what happened. It says he rose. I'm going to stop right there. Here he rose. Because the reason he arose, when somebody asks you to do something, and you say, follow me, Matthew arose. And I believe the rich young ruler arose too. And you look at your circumstance, you look at your situation, you look at what you're involved in. When Matthew arose, he looked around. He most likely saw all his cronies. He saw all his people. He saw all the other publicans that was doing his thing. He seen all that. And then he looked over and seen Jesus.
Yeah.
And then we have to make a decision. Are we going to follow or not? Don't let nobody flee. You just going to do what Jesus said. If that's the case, the rich young ruler wouldn't have had a choice.
Amen.
When Jesus said, go sell all you have and follow me, he wouldn't have had a choice.
Yeah.
Matthew had the same choice.
Yeah.
That the rich young ruler had. But the rich young ruler said, got too much stuff. Got too much going on right now. Jesus, come back another day. Tomorrow. Matthew looked around, seen all them heathens. Seen all the mess he was in, and then he seen himself. He seen himself. Jesus called him. When Jesus called him, he said, probably called him by his Levite name. Probably said, Levi, son of Alphaeus. Follow me. And he arose. Took a thorough examination of everything. Do this, people. Do this. Every once in a while, we do it first Sunday. I say it every first Sunday. Examine yourself. Check how you live. How was month of March when we do it for April? How was your month of March? Was it wonderful? Were you a blessing to people? Did you work hard at being a good and godly Christian? How was your prayer life for the month of March? Did you pray? Did you praise the Lord? Did you study the Word of God? Were you prepared to bless someone if someone came into your world? If you met somebody at Walmart, did you have was a scripture on your mind? How was it? This is what Matthew did. He took a thorough examination. Am I really going to live this way the rest of my life? Because it said Jesus passed by. Jesus on his way to the cross. Matthew knew, just like blind Bartimaeus, he wasn't coming back. He wasn't coming back. He was on his way to the cross. He was not coming back. And see, some of you sit here today and God is passing by. He's passing by. He's passing by. And you can say, you know, maybe when I got something going on. You know, that's one of Satan's greatest tools. That's the greatest tool. They said Satan, well, you know what? We just got to get these Christians, man. We just got to get these folks before they get saved. How should we do it? Tell them they ain't no heaven. No. Tell them they ain't no heaven. No. Then one of the demons came up, the story goes, and said, tell them they got time.
Amen.
Tell them they got time. I was in Columbus. Went to the library. I'm going to read the Columbus Dispatch, some of the newspaper. And I just reached the obituaries. All them folks dying down there, I ain't heard about it. Up here. We don't even know. I ain't think about it. I read like that. I'm like, man, all these people dying. We don't even know about these folks in Youngstown. Somebody said 240,000 folks die every day. Just keep on waiting. He arose. Listen, I thought about this. You don't have to, but I'm going to turn. I want to turn to Jonah. Not talk about the sailors anymore. I'm done with that. I'll wait till I get to heaven and ask them. Y'all just ain't right. but look at Jonah if you can. Grab your indexes, because it's a hard book. You know, it's a hard book. Don't try to be scholarly. If you can't find it, just find out what page it's on. It says in chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose. There you go. He arose. There's our word. He arose. He arose. He got up, took inventory of what God had told him to do, and went. That's the key. And went unto Nineveh,
according to the word of the Lord. I'm going to keep going. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey and cry and preach and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The word of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God. Look at verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Based on God's word being preached, they believed God. Capital G. Don't miss that. This is the word of God. We had to take our time in teaching it and preaching it. Capital G. These were little g believers. They were Ninevites. They were little g believers. But Jonah preached a big G God. He preached a big God to them people, and they believed and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. That's interesting. They believed and they proclaimed a fast. What did they proclaim a fast for? That they may, by fasting and praying and sackcloth, they may change God's mind. Yeah. That they may have influence on God, that we believe in God is a God of mercy. He's a God of compassion. And it says, from the least of them to the greatest. Now, watch verse 6. This is interesting again. Because, see, Jonah arose. Now, watch this king when he gets the word of what's happening in his kingdom. Mm-hmm. Watch what he does. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh. Little K. You get that, Minister Day? Little K. Because he's writing this, he's recognized, I'm not the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne. Y'all getting the symbolism here? Jesus. People getting ready to get saved. People, God's getting ready to save some folks, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him. Somebody say Philippians 2, Jesus set aside his glory. It's a picture of Christ here in salvation, and covered him with sackcloth and ashes. And he said, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout all Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. God heard him. Verse number 11, chapter 4. And here's God's answer to Jonah. I'm just going fast through it. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and much cattle, 120,000 people. How about that? That's about the population of Akron and Canton. Saved by the preached word. Young preachers, ministers, deacons, all y'all that preach the word. And you get up here and preach your own life. Ain't no power in it. You're not going to save nobody.
Amen.
Preach the gospel. Come in here next Friday. Preach the gospel. That's all we can do. Other than that, we just nothing. Pastor, get all these notes. I'm almost done. Say that's the first time he said it. And he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. What's it mean to follow Christ? I'm going to finish with that. What's it mean to follow Christ? What's it mean to follow Christ? That's interesting. We know it's not easy. And I'm not preaching that it's easy.
Amen.
Okay? Because when Abraham was praying for Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, he prayed and God answered Abraham's prayer. Told the angels to talk to Lot. The angels talked to Lot. Listen to what it says in Genesis 19 and 17. It says this, and it came to pass when they had brought forth abroad that he said, escape for your life. Escape for your life. Not easy to follow Christ now. Look not behind thee. Now, so we'll get on Lot's wife. But many of us would turn back too and take another glance. A lot of us would turn back and take a glance. Escape for the life and look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. It says, but his wife looked back and fought and looked back from behind, and she became a pillar of salt. Matthew never looked back. The word of God said he rose up and left everything. He left everything. Now, we know the rich young ruler looked back. We know he looked back. But what is it to follow Christ? What is it to follow Christ? Listen, let me give you a couple. I'm just going to give you a couple. I got a lot written down. I'm just going to give you a couple. I might give you all of them. I'm going to give you a couple. See how they flow. The first thing is, you're going to battle your lusts. You're going to battle. You're engaging in the battle. You say, I'm going to follow Christ. And when I say lust, I don't mean just sexual. Yeah. Don't get me wrong now. Lust, we can lust a whole lot of stuff. We all struggle with our lust. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. That's a struggle. If you're going to follow Christ, you're going to battle that. 1 Peter 4 and 2 says this, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of man, but to the will of God. You're going to follow Christ. You're going to give God, you're going to give God thanks in everything. In everything, you're going to give God thanks. Can you do that? Think about it. Think about some of the situations we've been in the last month as a church. And I've been with some of you. Can you give God thanks in everything? Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. Why, Paul? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We don't serve a God of chance. And God expects us to give him thanks. Here's the third one, and I like this one. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, here's Paul talking to the young Timothy. Young Timothy, he said this, you gonna follow me? Here's what you need to do. You get a good, firm grip on eternal life. You get a good, firm grip on eternal life. And put eternal life in your focus. Put eternal life in your focus. And I have to do this, and many of us have to do this, because we are in this world. And I sit here this morning, and I think about it. I'm out of town, I'm traveling and different things. Things go through your mind. And then I watch David, Minister Dave, sitting there talking to my wife. I watch him sitting there talking to my wife, and I watch everybody in this church talking to my wife and laughing with her and sharing with her, and she making blankets, and Elmer want a blanket now. And you know, when I think about the joy that we have in this church, I think about the fun that we have and the joy that we have. And then I keep my life in front of me, and I say this, and I say this, and I talk to Dave and Jake and all my men that hang around me. You keep your life in front of you. Because think about all the folks. Think about all the folks that go down with you. All the people that would be hurt if the pastor was to do something ridiculous. If the pastor's name ended up on a paper or they arrested the pastor or caught the pastor at the Wee Motel. I went way back, didn't I? Okay? Well, y'all understand what I'm saying? We have to live this way. And this is what Paul means. He said, lay a hold on it. He says this, he says, but they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But I like this part. Yeah. All the men ought to highlight 1 Timothy 6 and 9 through 11. Listen, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life whereunto thou art called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses.
And Michaela's one of my witnesses. Little Michaela. She loved her uncle. And she loved her uncle. And she loved being with her aunt and uncle. And I love being with these children. But Satan, he ain't right. He just ain't right. He just ain't right. Listen, are you on God's will? Here's one way to find out. When you leave a situation, think about this. You leave a situation. You leave your job. You leave a school. You leave a restaurant. You leave a seminar. You leave a convention. You leave the nurse's station. When you leave and look back, do good works follow you? Think about that. When you left a situation, when Minister Brian, you leave your job, you leave Sparkle, when you look back and lock the door, can you look back and say, you know what? Done my job today. I was fair, firm, and consistent. I was kind and generous. I was compassionate. I was full of mercy. That's God. That's God working through you. And if you struggle with compassion, and if you struggle with being merciful, if you struggle with being kind, then you need to really take that examination. And God is faithful. God is faithful. Listen, God, I'm not as compassionate as I need to be. My heart is not full of the type of mercy that it needs to have. He'll give it to you. Them is automatic prayers. You ain't got to put that one on twice. Oh, I got plenty of mercy because I sit on the throne of mercy. I can give you mercy. I can give you grace. See, well, we call up the Lord. All we want is what's it called? Price is right. A new car. I need a house. A trip to some of the countries I never heard of. I wouldn't even want to go. Like, I ain't never heard of that. And then he'll tell you. That's how we put our prayers on. Listen, next time you pray, God, give me some mercy. Give me some grace. Give me some love. Give me some joy. Give me some peace. Give me some long suffering. I don't know. Sylvia's like, I got enough of that. I love Sylvia. Sylvia Ray ended up in all my sermons. But you understand what I'm saying? Because God is good and he wants good works to follow us. Listen, I got so much stuff. I was telling Shane I got another 3 sermons in one. Let me talk about two verses. I'm done, honestly. Oh, we good. Ain't even getting ready to go in the fourth quarter. Look at Colossians 3. You got to go here. You got to go to Colossians 3 today. Because I'm talking about the risen Christian. I mean, if you have a rose, and now you're a follower of Christ, you are a man of God, woman of God, you've been born again, now you're a follower of Christ, you are loving this thing. You are loving that God has come into your life and gave you the power to cancel out sin and clean up, deal with your lust and all that. You love it. Here's what Paul says in Colossians 3 and 1. He says, if then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Which are above, not which are below. We're not going below. We're going above. Seek the things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now he says in verse 2, set. Now, some of us, we get set alarms. We need to leave your house, set the alarm. Leave the church, we set the alarm. Our business, set the alarm. I call Vaughn. Vaughn, set the alarm on the church. I don't think it was set. I got it. Because, you know, we set, that word means, it's activated, it's on. And our affections, man, Randy come home last night from the lock-in at the Y. He was in love and he met the girl 10 minutes ago. I'm in love. I want to go to Victory tomorrow. I'm like, dude, you don't have no job, no car. You can't be in love with no money. He looking at me like, dude, what kind of foster family is this? I know. I give him a tape. Our affections are crazy. And I'll say this to the young people. Our affections are crazy. Yeah, yeah. We can fall in love with anything. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. Listen,
Here's the psalm of a believer. Here's the psalm of a believer. Now, I hear this one. People, you know, I go to funerals. I do funerals. They say, well, they really, I want you to read the Old Testament. I want you to read the New Testament. And the person don't know the Lord at all. I don't like doing those. I don't have a lot to say. That's going to comfort the family so they don't call me for that. They say, well, read Psalm 23. I'm going to read Psalm 23 and I'm going to be closed. Honestly. This is a psalm of a believer. Now, David didn't been through some stuff. He didn't dealt with some stuff. God has David in the wilderness, and David is crying out to God. And this is a cry to God. This is a cry to God. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, if you are a child of God, man of God, woman of God, child of God, listen, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. Oh, you're going to go through some stuff. Oh, you're going to go through some stuff. And you keep on living. And you're going to bury folks. And you're going to come back to church. You're going to come back to the Lord. Anybody's getting mad at the Lord? We all leaving here.
Amen.
We all going to get sick. We all going to have heartaches and pains in our life. Nobody gets, there's no free ride. And nobody in here. Other than some of maybe the little ones. But we all have felt it. We all have dealt with it. We're going to deal with some more. Unless we leave here today. And you live. And you keep living. And you're going to keep dealing. We got some saints up in here that have been through some stuff. Y'all want to talk about it? See, you know, see Sister Shelly. She's still here. See her after church. See Ann. See my wife. See me. See Margaret. See Claire. See Deacon Oliver. See some folks. How did you deal with it? How did you deal with your mother getting sick? How did you deal with your husband passing away? Stuff like that. We've all dealt with some of that stuff. You'd be surprised the gifts that are in you because of the adversity you face.
Amen.
He said, he restored my soul. There's times where we felt like, I don't think I could ever smile again. I don't think I will ever have joy. But the word of God say, listen, weeping may what? Endure for a night. But joy cometh in the morning. Because that's just the kind of God we serve. He's going to restore our joy. He's going to restore our soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, why? Why, David? For thou art with me. The man of God, the woman of God, the child of God, feels the presence of God. You feel the presence of God with you all the time. You feel it. You got that remote control in your hand? You feel the presence of God. You got that cell phone, whatever, you feel the presence of God if you're a child of God. If you don't feel the presence of God, that's a whole nother struggle. Listen, that rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How about that? Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Here's my verse. I read all that to get to verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And all you have to look, turn around sometime and look at where God has brought you from.
Amen.
And you will see goodness and mercy all behind. It's just behind you. Goodness and mercy has followed me. And the fact that you're sitting here today is only because of God's goodness and his mercy. Because many of us have done enough for God to take us out.
Amen.
But because he's a God of mercy. He's a God of mercy. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And David was saying that because he had him a church home. He had a place where folks went. And he said, listen, David said in Psalm 120, I was glad. When he came out of the wilderness, not being able to go to church, not having a church home, not having a place where God was worshipped and adored and preached. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. It is so good to see you guys today.
Amen.
It is so good to see you today. It is so good to see Claire's niece here for 2 weeks in a row. That is a beautiful thing. I didn't offend them away. I'll be like, came back. You know, but it's good to be in the house of God. It's good to see Jake. It's good to see Jake and Dave walk in my office. It's good to see, you know, Rita come down the hall. She just waves. Margaret, come in. She come in at 10 o'clock today. I ain't teaching now. I got a timer on all my leadership.